The latest report on child well-being in Michigan finds a 23% increase in childhood poverty since 2006. The Kids Count in Michigan data book shows that poverty for children is up in 80 of Michigan's 83 counties over that time. That includes a 15% increase in Kalamazoo County. Alicia Guevara-Warren is Kids Count in Michigan Project Director for the Michigan League for Public Policy. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about this top-line number here in the state, a 23% increase in childhood poverty. What does that mean for children and their families?
So what we know is, so the rate has increased, like you said, by 23% over this base period. So we have, you know, over 47,000 more kids in poverty from the, you know, kind of pre-Great Recession period. Now we know Michigan's recession started before that, but when we think from a national big picture, it was, you know, that was right before things got really bad. So what we know is that 23%, you know, almost one in four kids in the state are still living in poverty. So it really shows us that even in what we're calling this economic recovery period, kids are still being, you know, kids and families are still being left behind.
If we were to look at these numbers year by year, would we find that there was a peak a few years back? In other words, has the poverty rate decreased some in recent years as the economy has recovered?
Yeah, so we do know that, you know, over the past couple of years, things have slightly improved. So, you know, I think things really peaked in about 2012 at, you know, 24.7% of kids living in poverty in the state. So we've come down some, you know, over the past couple of years to, you know, 23%. But I think bottom line, we're still, I mean, that's a really unacceptably high number, and it hasn't really dropped that much from year to year when we think about, you know, here we are several years into the economic recovery period, and it's still remaining fairly high.
I noted the 15% increase in childhood poverty in Kalamazoo County. Calhoun County was one of three in the state where there was a decrease in the poverty rate. And yet, still, the childhood poverty rate in Calhoun County is over 23%. Is there anything that we can say about the counties where there was any sort of decrease in childhood poverty over this period?
Well, I think you hit it right on. So what we saw is in these three counties where there were decreases, they were very small. You know, we had 2% in the other two counties, and then 5%, you know, Calhoun had, you know, the largest decrease in their poverty rate for kids. But what we did see was some of those places, for example, Livingston County, I know it's not in this area, but they've ranked number one in the state for several years, and they tend to have a lower poverty rate. However, their percent change in their rate was so much more significant than some of these other places. So where we did see the decreases, it's great news, right? It's a great trend that it's getting lower, but those poverty rates still are either higher or at the same level as the state average. So they're still fairly high.
You rank the counties in Michigan according to what you call child well-being. Does that go beyond the poverty rate? Are there other things that you're looking at?
Absolutely. So what we try to do, because we think, you know, there are several things that impact child development. So we look at 16 different indicators across four different domains. So we're looking at economic security, which includes poverty. We look at health, thinking about, you know, prenatal care, infant mortality rates, families and communities, you know, the teen birth rate, child welfare numbers, and then education, thinking about preschool, how our kids are doing on standardized tests like the MSTOP, and looking at graduation rates as well. So we look at all of those different things, and when we come up with the overall ranking, it's really about kind of indexing all of the rankings and how that county does across those four different domains and those 16 indicators.
Looking at Southwest Michigan, Kalamazoo County ranks 44th, Calhoun County 69th, Van Buren County is 53rd, and then Barry County is 11th in terms of child well-being. These counties are all very close to each other. So what might account for one county doing relatively well on child well-being and a neighboring county not doing as well?
You know, some of it is just going to depend. When I look at these numbers in particular in these counties, what we see is that for Calhoun, Kalamazoo, and Van Buren, what stands out most are the numbers around and the number of kids who are living in families investigated for abuse or neglect, and then also, you know, the kids tied to that, the kids who are confirmed as victims as abuse and neglect. Those numbers really stand out in those three counties, where, as in Barry, they're not, you know, they're they're not increasing at the same rate as the state or as these other three areas. So that, you know, could have a big deal in here. But, you know, there are some good things going on in some of these counties as well, particularly around infant mortality and the child-teen death rate. And then the teen birth rate is also going down as well. And when we look at, you know, that's another example for Barry County doing much better in the decline in the teen birth rate.
You mentioned the rate of child abuse and neglect up 29% statewide. Is this one of these things that is closely tied to poverty? In other words, if the poverty rate goes up, we are likely to see an increase in child abuse and neglect cases.
It is. You know, we know that there's a correlation between, you know, those two, the poverty rates and child abuse and neglect. You know, when families have fewer resources to access and fewer support systems, it makes it a lot tougher to, you know, provide for your children and also to, you know, be able to live, you know, and not have that extra stress. You know, parenting for anybody, I think, is, you know, stressful without having, you know, all of these other things on top of that. So, yeah, there is some, you know, correlation to that. And I think what we really need to think about when we look at those numbers, we have, you know, typically, you know, generally across the state, seen an improvement in the number of kids who are being placed in out-of-home care because of, you know, abuse or neglect. So it really shows that, you know, while we've been, the state has been under a consent decree because of, you know, being sued by the Children's Rights Organization, we've seen some improvements in our foster care system on the back end, while we've really neglected to invest in how we can prevent child abuse and neglect from happening in the first place before these kids end up in the system. So I think that's what some of those numbers are showing us, that, you know, we can make a difference, and we really need to be focusing in on prevention and the programs that we know are, that would work to help drive those numbers down.
What else does the Michigan League for Public Policy think should be done to help people who are currently in poverty in this state?
You know, one of the things that really stands out when we start, you know, looking at the data is the rate of concentrated poverty. So kids living in, you know, really high poverty neighborhoods where, you know, they might not have access to healthy foods. They're living in, you know, unsafe neighborhoods where the crime rates, you know, are higher. All of those things have a big impact on what we call toxic stress. So that has, you know, for a child to be living in chronic poverty and to be surrounded by, you know, violence or anything like that, it has a real impact on child development. So when we look at how the state fares around concentrated poverty, we have one of the highest rates across the country, and we have the highest concentrated poverty rate for African American children in the country, one of the top five highest for Latino kids, and we fall in the top 20 of states with the highest rates for American Indian children. So that really points us, I think, when thinking about, you know, the Flint water crisis and the DPS schools, really points us to the fact that we need to be investing in our communities by increasing revenue sharing. We are currently underfunding our local governments by 70%, and that is really, you know, when local governments have very few options to raise revenue to be able to provide these basic services, you know, like clean air and drinking water, affordable housing, public transportation, the state really has a role to play in helping to invest in our communities.
Are there other things that the state should be doing specifically to try and lift people out of poverty, as opposed to simply trying to help someone who finds himself in the situation, as you mentioned, being in an area like Flint or like Detroit with high concentrations of poverty?
Absolutely. We know that, you know, a lot of the jobs that are coming in are going to require that, you know, people have some sort of post-secondary training or credentialing in order to access those jobs that are going to provide, you know, that livable wage. And so thinking about how we can expand adult education funding and thinking about how we can, you know, provide multiple pathways for youth to be able to access that training, you know, right out of high school or in high school, those are things that are going to be very important to help them get those jobs. Other things that we know work, you know, a minimum wage job working full-time isn't going to lift a family out of poverty. So we have other tools like the Earned Income Tax Credit, which is a proven poverty reduction tool used, you know, in many, many states across the country. They have state-level EITCs that they've, you know, increased at the same time that Michigan, you know, has decreased theirs. So thinking about how we can revisit that conversation and talk about strengthening that as a tool for reducing poverty, you know, it lifts people out of poverty, and it encourages work at the same time. One other area that I think is really important when we think about poverty and work-related issues is ensuring that families have access to affordable quality childcare. Again, thinking about, you know, the cost of childcare, it consumes about 40% of minimum wage earnings. That's a huge chunk of somebody's earnings and able to go to work. You know, this is one of those two-generation strategies that helps parents while also helping kids by providing that early learning experience to hopefully be better prepared for kindergarten. So, you know, thinking about how we can increase the eligibility level to allow more families to access, you know, subsidized childcare assistance, just because knowing that it's a huge cost burden for families, and it would encourage people to, or help people to be able to stay in work and, you know, provide that for their children as well.
We mentioned earlier that you do rank these counties by child well-being, and then, of course, there's the big statewide picture. But are those rankings in terms of county by county, are they mainly based on who lives there? For instance, is Livingston County really doing anything policy-wise that drives down their poverty rate? Or is it simply a matter of demographics that the people who live there tend to be better educated, wealthier, et cetera?
You know, I think that's kind of the trend that we see. You know, Ottawa County is another one that typically comes, you know, towards the top. It's, you know, these communities where there are already resources in place that make it a little bit easier. But to kind of loop back to what I was saying earlier, you know, like Livingston County, I think it's important to look that, yes, you know, they do better and their child poverty rates are lower and they do have, you know, some more resources that other counties don't have access to. But they need to be thinking about how they can respond to these very significant rate increases, because those are the areas where we're seeing, you know, the poverty rate increase more than some of these other places that have typically had higher child poverty rates.
So we've talked quite a bit about what the state can do. Is it mainly a state issue? Is it a state and national issue? Are there things that individual communities can do which can address the poverty rate and child well-being right in their backyard?
Absolutely. And that's part of why we break down the data by county level, because, you know, there is still a lot that can be done at the local level and thinking about, you know, breaking down the numbers and looking at, you know, picking out some areas. Is it child poverty that we need to focus in on? Is it their child welfare area? And really using those that data to drive their local strategies and programming needs, and then to also, you know, watch to measure your outcomes, you know, continue to monitor the numbers and see how things improve. So definitely a lot that, you know, local communities can be doing. And hopefully this also opens the door for conversations across counties and, you know, communities to be able to say, hey, our neighbor is doing, you know, better in this area. Let's have that conversation and see, you know, what they might be doing and how they're doing it.
Alicia Guevara-Warren, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Alicia Guevara-Warren is Kids Count in Michigan Project Director for the Michigan League for Public Policy.